Morning, everyone. You're very welcome to our broadcast this morning from Rafaelan Baptist Church. Thank you for joining with us. And our prayer is, as ever, that God would speak into your heart and that the blessing of the Lord would be resting upon you in these days. I want to come this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 20, please. 1 Samuel chapter 20. We're going to read one verse of scripture and then we'll be looking at a few other passages as the Lord leads this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 20. And we're going to read from verse number 18, just to remind our own folk that tonight again at 6:30 we'll be broadcasting our gospel message, and then following that, approximately 8 p.m. There'll be a youth meeting, a youth Zoom meeting, and our brother Nigel Kissick will be along to speak to the young people tonight. So do keep that in mind, encourage the young people to attend that they might hear what the Lord has to say in these days. So we're coming to 1 Samuel chapter 20, and we're going to read verse number 18, please. Thank you. Then Jonathan said to David, "Tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty." Let's just bow in a moment's prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this, the Lord's Day. We thank you, Lord, we can come into thy presence. Lord, we can call upon thy thrice holy name. We thank you, Lord, that we're invited to come boldly onto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And though, Heavenly Father, so we look to thee this morning to give that needed help. We pray, Lord, as we come to the word of God, as we seek to expound it, Lord, that you would lead and guide. And Lord, we pray that the Spirit of God might take the word of God and bring it home with real power this morning. Be with all who are listening today. Lord, you know the various needs. We commit and commend all to thee. We remember our land again and our country. And we ask again, Lord, that thou would be pleased to intervene. And Lord, even through this coronavirus crisis, that men and women might realize there is a God in heaven and they might seek the Lord while he is to be found. We're mindful, Lord, of our own assembly. And we commit especially this morning those who are bereaving and those who are mourning. And Lord, we think especially of Heather again. We pray, Lord, you'll draw nigh to Heather and bless her. We remember her little family again. We remember Sarah and we remember Daniel and Grace. And we commit them lovingly and graciously to thee. And pray, Lord, that you indeed would be a tower of strength to them. And Lord, for that whole family circle, for Ruth and William and family as well, we commit them all to thee and the whole wider family circle. May they know your grace in an abundant measure. We're mindful too of Danielle and her mum and her family, and we just again ask again that you would comfort, and Lord, that you would draw nigh. Lord, there are many in our land that are mourning the loss of loved ones at this time, and Lord, we just pray that the God of all comfort will be there for them. And so, Lord, as we continue here this morning, just give that needed help, and may, Lord, the Spirit of God undertake, and may the Spirit of God take the Word of God this morning and bring it home with real power, for it's in and through our Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. I want to think about the empty seat this morning, and indeed a few other empty things as well. I mentioned last Lord's Day morning that this coronavirus, as far as the assembly in Rafaelan is concerned, the Little Baptist Church, is perhaps the biggest test we have faced, that a real test of holding things together, a real test of our love and our commitment to the Lord and indeed to each other when we're not able to meet. It's so easy to drift away, and it's so easy to go into bypath meadows. And yet little did we know when we were opening the Word of God last Lord's Day morning that the Lord was going to call home our dearly beloved brother Ian. Little did we know that the test that we were going through was going to be multiplied many times over. I listened to a brother at a funeral service recently, and he said, "God takes the best to shape the rest." And no doubt on this occasion, God has taken the best. And indeed, no doubt perhaps you and I feel that God has been shaping us over these past number of days. And of course, the loss that we feel as an assembly, we feel as the people of God, can't really compare to the loss that Ian's family is going through at this time. I believe the Lord brought me to this text of scripture in verse number 18. A very simple text this morning. "And thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty." Thou shalt be missed because thy seat will be empty. And of course, this morning there's a home with an empty seat. If we were in our church building, there would be an empty seat in that church building. There would be an empty seat around the Lord's table. There would be an empty seat. Indeed, when we would gather week by week for prayer. And as I thought about the empty seat, I thought about some empty experiences that we find in the Word of God. And of course, we know all about empty things at the moment. Some of the shops are empty because they're not allowed to open. Some of the workplaces are empty. At times, the roads are empty. Our churches are empty. And there are many empty things that we can relate to even this morning. I want to think, first of all, this morning about Joseph. Because Joseph found himself in an empty pit. And I want you to come to Genesis chapter 34. I think most of you will know the background. You will know how Joseph found himself in this pit. When you come to Genesis chapter 37, we discover a number of things about Joseph and his brothers. You remember that Joseph's father had made him a coat of many colours. And because of this coat of many colours, indeed, Joseph was much hated by his own brothers. Look at Genesis 37, verse 4. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Look down to verse number 11. And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. It doesn't seem to matter whatever Joseph said, whatever he did, the fact that he had this coat of many colours. His brothers were filled with envy. Envy is a terrible thing. You know, Scripture tells us that envy rots you inside. Proverbs 14, verse 30. A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Envy will hinder the growth of a child of God. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. The indication from Peter would be, if you want to grow, you won't grow if there's envy in your heart. Envy produces all sorts of behavior in our lives. James 3 verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And this is what happened with Joseph's brethren. This envy led to something even more. Look down to verse 18 in chapter 37. And when they saw him, this of course is Joseph they're speaking of, afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. It's now moving from their heads, it's into their mouths, it's become a talking point, it's become a planning point, and it's going to lead to every evil work. Look down to verse number 23, and it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colours that was on him. An awful thing to strip a brother in any way at all. And sometimes we can do that. Sometimes we can say things about our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We can strip them of their character. We can strip them of their testimony. We can strip them of any good at all. And just speak to people about how bad they seem to be in our estimation. An awful way for any brother or sister in the Lord to behave. Now look at verse 24. And they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. Here's Joseph, and he's in an empty pit. How he must have felt. How could you feel in such a horrible situation? Look at how the brothers reacted in verse 25. They sat down to eat bread, and they lifted up their eyes, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. They seem to have a picnic on the edge of the pit. You know, Genesis 42 tells us a little bit more of the detail. Verse 21, and they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul, which he besought, when he besought us, and we would not hear. And it seems that Joseph may have been calling out to them. Joseph may have been pleading for help and some sort of mercy and some sort of kindness and compassion, and they just sat on the edge of the pit. And as I said before, they seemed to have a picnic on the pit. while Joseph was in this empty pit. You know, when you think of it, why Joseph was there, you remember that Joseph's father had sent Joseph onto his brethren. He was to go to his brethren. He was to take something for them to eat. Genesis 47 verse 13, Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee unto them. And he said unto him, here am I. And he said to him, go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren, and well with the flocks, and bring me word again. So he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. Here is Joseph, and he's been asked by his father to go and visit his brethren. We can see many good characteristics in Joseph. He was submissive. Even though he would have some idea what his brothers thought, yet Joseph was willing to go to them. Joseph was sacrificial. He would have to travel up about 60 miles to Shechem, as he thought. And of course, he was willing to do that, even though travel was difficult, even though it would cost him in some way. Yet Joseph was submissive and Joseph was sacrificial. He was even steadfast, because we realize when he arrived that they weren't in Shechem. Verse 17 says in Genesis 37, when he is looking for his brother, and this man said to him, they are departed hence, for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. Even though Joseph came to Shechem, he traveled all that distance, they weren't there, Joseph was willing to go the extra mile. And Joseph was someone who was showing his brethren real love here and real concern. And when he came to Shechem, he went that little bit further. Do we go the extra mile for our brothers and sisters in the Lord? Is the Lord asking you to have patience with someone and to go the extra mile? Is the Lord asking you to show forgiveness to someone and go the extra mile? Does there seem to be no appreciation? There certainly was no appreciation of Joseph, and yet he was willing to go the extra mile. And you can see that Joseph was truly a man of God. And even though he's obeying the Lord, and even though he's in the will of his earthly father, no doubt God the Father as well, because we read in Acts 7 verse 9 that God was with him, Joseph finds himself in this empty pit. I wonder this morning, does life seem like an empty pit? Does it seem hopeless? Does it seem helpless? Even as a church family this morning, we have suffered another blow. And as I keep saying, our blow is nothing to the blow of Ian's family. But we feel the pain. And we feel the pressure. And it's nearly as if the pit's empty this morning. No, Joseph looked back over his life, and this is what he said in Genesis 50, verse number 20. Speaking to his brothers when they realized that Joseph wasn't dead, when they realized he was very much alive, when they discover he's been elevated to the position of prime minister in Egypt, Genesis 50, verse 20. But as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. And Joseph looks back over his life, and he's able, even though all of the things that Joseph goes through, and remember, it's not just going to be the bitterness of his brethren. He'll suffer the wickedness of the world. He'd be tempted. He'd be thrown into prison. He'd have the forgetfulness of his friends when he would interpret dreams. They would forget about Joseph and leave Joseph to rot in the prison. And Joseph went through so much, and yet as he looks back, he can see God's hand at work. And I wonder, is God saying to this little assembly of Refrain, and maybe to someone who's watching this morning who find themselves in an empty pit, keep going, God is at work. Keep going, God is at work. You see Joseph and the empty pit. Keep going, God's at work. I'm going to think secondly about the widow woman and the empty vessels. Turn over to 2 Kings chapter 4. I know we looked at this passage recently when we studied the life of Elisha, but I just want to bring a few simple thoughts out this morning as the Lord would lead. 2 Kings chapter 4, and reading from verse number 1. Elisha had been dealing with three kings, and now he moves to this widow woman into a place of relative obscurity. Think of the kings and all that they would possess. And then he comes to this widow woman, and this widow woman hasn't two pence. She's broke financially. You see the problems encountered in verse number 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And here's this dear widow woman, and her heart's breaking. Her husband has died, and she's looking at her family, and she can't meet ends meet, and it looks like she's going to lose her family. We are reminded in the Word of God that God has a special place in his heart for widows and for the fatherless children. And if we would pretend to be Christ-like, if we pretend to be God-like, then we too should have a heart for widows and a heart for fatherless children. Psalm 146, verse 9. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and the widow. Exodus 22, verse 22. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. Proverbs 15, verse 25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. And God has a special interest in widows and fatherless children. And here we see it demonstrated here in the life of Elisha. You see the problems encountered. She had met bereavement. She had lost her husband, a man of God, a man who served the Lord, a man who feared the Lord. You see her bereavement. You see her borrowings. Verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that my servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. Everything was gone that she had, and all that is left is her family, and they're coming to take her family away. Do you see the bereavement and the borrowings? Do you see the bondage? The two sons could become slaves. Or can we enter into her position this morning and see the problems encountered? But then there was the prayer engaged. Look at verse 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. She comes and she cries unto the man of God. You know, we living in this day and age, we don't have to come and cry unto the man of God. We can cry unto the God man. Because there is no mediator between God and man, save of Christ Jesus alone. And we can come and we can cast all our care upon him because he cares for us. And she had exhausted her own resources. Verse 2 tells us she has nothing left, only a pot of oil. Do you see the problems encountered and the prayer engaged? And then you see the prophet's exhortation. Then he said, verse 3, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors. You know her neighbors obviously wanted to help her. You see the heart of them. See the heart of her friends. Look what they wanted to borrow. Even empty vessels. You see the empty vessels again? They speak of having nothing. Borrow not a few, and when thou come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. She's asked to take the little bit she has and to pour it out. Verse 4, when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Do you know what she had to do? She had to have faith. She had to trust the word of God, and she had to obey. She had to trust and obey, because there is no other way. You see the problem she encountered and the prayer she engaged in and the prophet's exhortation. And then you see the power exhibited. Verse 5, so she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons. He brought the vessels to her and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me yet a vessel. And they said, there is not a vessel more. And the oil said, what? And abundance was available. God stepped in and God met the need in this situation. Look at verse 7. You see the provision enjoyed. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. And here we see that God fulfills his promise. And we can trust God that God will keep his promises. Tell me this morning, does life feel like an empty pit? Is God saying to you this morning, is God saying to this little church this morning, and for the people of God this morning, listen, keep going. God is at work. Remember Joseph and the empty pit. Do you remember what Joseph went through? And yet Joseph could look back and he could see the providence of God. My dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, keep going. God is at work. Maybe this morning it's like the empty vessels. Oh, we seem so empty this morning. There seems to be nothing at all. And yet is the God saying to us as a little assembly this morning, keep trusting, the blessings will flow. Keep trusting the Lord and the blessings will flow and the blessings will come. Is God saying, keep going, God is at work. Is God saying, keep trusting, the blessings will flow. Well, I think of the empty pit and the empty vessels, and now I come to our text this morning. I come to the empty seat. 1 Samuel 20 verse 18, then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon and thou shalt be missed because thy seat will be empty. You know, David's chair was going to be empty. And there's help and there's comfort in this text of scripture. You can see that the Lord notes here the value of a home. You see, the new moon was the time when the family would get together and the family would celebrate, and God looks upon families as a real blessing. I know we live in a land where the family is no longer looked upon, when marriage is frowned upon, and when these things are despised, but the Bible recognizes the home, and here's our wonderful home, but here's something hard. There's an empty seat. And here's real hurting. Thou shalt be missed. And you know, the Lord has promised to help us. But when we look at that empty seat, when you see the empty seat in the home, when you see the empty seat in the family gatherings, when you see the empty seat in the little church in Refining, when we get back to it, you know, our hearts will be hurting and breaking. And yet the Lord is saying, I'm going to help you. I'm going to be with you. Do you remember in John 11 verse 32? Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And Mary's distressed, death is called at her home. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And then we know that verse, Jesus wept. Every tear that Christ shed that day when he stood at the grave says to you this morning, says to us all this morning, I love you. I understand what you're going through. I know what the empty seat is like. And I know you're going to miss him. I understand like no one else understands. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained? Too deeply for a mercy song. As the burdens press and the cares distress, and the way grows weary and long. Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary and the long nights dreary, I know my Saviour cares. Listen, he cares this morning. But you know, how can we draw help this morning? You know, I was thinking of the empty chair and I thought about Christ and some empty things. You know, if you think about Christ's condescension this morning, Paul tells us in Philippians 2 verse 7, speaking of Christ, but made himself, this is the Lord Jesus Christ, of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. You see the word no reputation, it means Christ emptied himself. Remember, he was in heaven with God the Father. He had all the glory of heaven, the praise of all the angels, and Christ stepped out of it and made himself of no reputation. He absolutely emptied himself. And he became God manifest in flesh and took upon him the form of a servant. He took upon him the form of a man. He was made in the likeness of men. Why did Christ do that? Why did he empty himself? Why did he come at all? Because only a sinless sacrifice would be acceptable. Only a sinless sacrifice would satisfy a thrice holy God and deal with our sin. Philippians 2 verse 7, he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even, not just any death, even the death of a cross. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Do you see this morning that Christ emptied himself? See, when you look at the empty chair, remember Christ and the empty things. He emptied himself. But of course, there's another empty thing this morning, not only his condescension. But you know, think of his resurrection. We looked at this many times over Easter. Matthew 28 verse 6. Remember the words of the angels? He is not here, for he is risen. As he says, come see the place where the Lord lay. You know, it wasn't enough that Christ came. It wasn't enough even that Christ had to die. He had to rise again. And there had to be the empty tomb. Thank God for the empty tomb. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which he also received. How did Christ die for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried? Thank God it doesn't finish there. Praise God, he rose again. And there's an empty tomb. And the one who emptied himself went to the cross and died. And was buried. And he rose again. And the tomb is empty this morning. And because he lives, we shall live forever. See, when you look at the empty seat, remember the one that emptied himself. Do you remember the empty tomb this morning? Listen, that brother or sister that you're grieving for this morning, that loved one this morning, listen, they're alive! Because of the empty tomb. The empty seat breaks our heart. The empty tomb gives us hope this morning. But you know, there's another empty thing this morning. Not only the condescension, not only the resurrection, but I called it anticipation. Let me explain this morning. In Hebrews 1 verse 3, we read about Christ, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, that's the work at Calvary. And as we said, Christ died and was buried and he rose again. You know what happened? He ascended. And here's what the Hebrew writer says. He sat down on the right hand of the majesty in high. Listen, there's a seat in glory. And Christ is sitting on it at this time. But listen, one day soon, that seat will be empty. Because Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there, you may be also. Thank God, it's great to be saved. And when you look at that empty seat, remember Christ who emptied himself, who went to Calvary and died. Remember the empty tomb. Remember one day soon, the seat in glory will be empty. Jesus Christ will come back and we're going to rise to meet the Lord in the air. And here's the good news this morning. That loved one that we miss so dearly. Here's what Paul said, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Hallelujah! Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Thank God, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Our hearts are breaking because of the empty seat this morning. But thank God for the empty tomb this morning. Thank God for the one who emptied himself. Thank God one day soon Jesus will stand again in glory. He'll come back to this earth and we'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Here's what John says, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We're going to see Christ. We're going to be like him. We're going to be with him for all eternity. And there's going to be that wonderful reunion with those who have died in Christ and gone on before. Listen, we're going home to glory soon. To see the city bright. To walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. But some of you this morning are out of Christ and held by many a snare. We cannot leave you lost alone. Listen, we want you over there if you're not saved. I'll tell you, you need to come to know Christ this morning. What heartbreak this morning if there was an empty seat. And we hadn't got that assurance that you're with Christ. And there's going to be that wonderful reunion. Wonder what the Lord is saying to our little assembly this morning when we think of Joseph in the empty pit. Is God saying, listen, keep going. God is at work. When we think of the widow and the empty vessels, is the Lord saying this morning, listen, keep trusting. Keep trusting, the blessings will flow. You know, when I think of Jonathan and the empty seat this morning, is the Lord saying, keep looking, we'll be home soon. We'll be home soon. I was speaking to a couple of grandparents recently, and they were saying that they went up to McGabry, they wanted to see a newborn grandchild, and all they could do was look through the window, and they left in tears. They couldn't put their arms around those little ones, and they couldn't express the love in the way that we would want to express it. One of the joys of the newborn is just to lap your arms around us, and the granny and granda weren't able to do it. But listen, God knows no such restrictions. Deuteronomy 33, verse 28. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And I say to you this morning, whose hearts are breaking with the empty seat, the Lord Jesus will lap his arms around you. And over again, I believe he'll say to you, I love you. I love you. I love you. Whether it's an empty pit, an empty vessel, or an empty chair, I believe he'll lap those arms around me. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms, I have peace complete with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, I'm leaning on those everlasting arms. Do you feel them wrapped around you this morning? I pray that you will. I pray that God will give us, as a little assembly, the grace to keep looking to him. I pray for all the families this morning, that you'll be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you this morning for thy precious word. We ask, Lord, that the Spirit of God would take the word of God. And Lord, that all who listen this morning would experience the comfort of the Holy Scriptures. That they may know the comfort of the Holy Spirit. That they may feel those everlasting arms even being lapped around them. And may they touch, they feel the touch of the Master's hand upon them even today. Bless thy work to our hearts. Encourage the people of God. Lord, lift up those especially whose hearts are broken this morning. Lord, we pray that you will be to them a tower of strength. For it's in and through your Saviour's precious name we pray. Amen.